Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 2, first 12 verses. Let us read with the help of the Lord. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the stars, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. This is the passage that I wanted us to read today. Let us now turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we are reading this testimony, we pray, O Lord, that the message of the gospel may fill our hearts, enlighten our minds, and turn our full attention to the message that thou art presenting to us in this testimony, in this record, that is in its own way so unique in the whole Bible, the scripture, O Lord. We pray that the things that are usually overseen and the points that have been distorted or twisted by the Gentile traditions around us may not prevent us from understanding the scripture as thou art giving it to us. Gracious Lord, we pray for thy Spirit's guidance. Give us grace, O Heavenly Father, to cast away all our worries and fears and thoughts and plans and other desires, especially those that are needless and detrimental to our faith, but also give us a breakaway, a rest from our duties, chores, assignments, that we may focus on this journey, O Heavenly Father, that thou hast prepared so long ago. As the Lamb of God is entering the scene of humanity, grant us, O Heavenly Father, to realize that as thou hast appointed everything to happen, Lord, that so it is in our lives. And that the same powers, O Heavenly Father, the power of light, thine own power, ruling and controlling the world, may work in our life more abundantly, and that the powers of darkness that are raging in the world may be cast out, defeated, and that there be no other fear in our hearts but the strong desire to respect Thee, to worship Thee, to obey Thee, O God. That there be no other worries in our mind, O Lord, but that we be careful not to miss Thy gifts and blessings that Thou art giving today. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for Thy purification. Allow us, give us the grace that Thou art urging us to receive, to see ourselves as we are in Thy sight, and to see that Thou art giving to us Thy grace, not according to our worthiness, but on the merit of Thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou grant us that new heart and mind, gospel heart and mind, the heart and mind of the disciples filled with Thy Spirit. O Lord, grant us that privilege to follow the Savior as our Master, our Owner, our King, our Priest, and to rely upon this word of Thine that He has given us, because He is our true Prophet also. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, when this short pilgrimage of ours is ended, we desire and we pray, O Father, that we be not among those that will be condemned by the long journey of the wise men from the east. For they came from afar to worship the newborn King. And we have the message that Thou hast given us of our eternal King, born in Bethlehem by virgin, raised in Nazareth by carpenter, baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, that we follow Him of whom Thou hast said, O Father, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, that we also may experience the joy of Thy pleasure when we do Thy will, O God. That we may follow Thy beloved Son, and that in us there be no other pleasure apart from the pleasure of Thine. That we are His disciples, that we are Thy people, O Father. We pray that Thou give us grace, O God, to follow Thy Son as He proclaimed Thy will in the testing and trial in the wilderness. That we also may live by every word that proceeded from Thy mouth, and not only by bread alone. That we may worship Thee and none other, O Heavenly Father, and that we never tempt Thee, O God. Help us to follow our Lord and Savior as He proclaimed Thy gospel by words and deeds, manners, behavior. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, help us to receive that grace of Thine and the power of Thy Spirit, to believe Thy word and to obey. Holy Father, The goods that the world is offering are nothing. But Thou art giving us everlasting life through Christ Jesus, our crucified and risen Lord. Oh, give us that grace, Lord, we pray, that with Him we also may be crucified to the world and the world to us. Keep us from worldliness. Rather, lead us out of worldliness. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, give us that wonderful and glorious grace and power that we be risen with Christ into that new life, and that we walk in Him. Adorn our souls in His purity, holiness, righteousness. The multitudes of the gifts of Thy Spirit, O Lord, give Thou to us abundantly, that we may experience Thy words. Whoever will forsake all will receive manifold much more. And afterward, life in glory forever. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, lead us out of darkness, and then purge our darkness from ours, our hearts, our minds, that we may truly be Thy children. And as we read, O Heavenly Father, today, and as we meditate upon Thy Word, may we grow with Christ in this most holy faith. And what has been promised to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that in their seed all the nations upon the earth will be blessed. May it be fulfilled to us and to all others, that Thou wilt turn away from sin and darkness to Thy glorious and marvelous light. Though we are not in full blood and in flesh their children, that we may walk in the footsteps of that faith that leads us through the inner circumcision of heart and mind and tongue to become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that in Him Thou, O Father, be honored, exalted, and glorified, even in the vessels, weak and small as we are. Amen. I think it's rather interesting that some of the questions of human endless curiosity and questionfulness are answered in this passage that we have read. And I think that in the past, the childhood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was an argument and a discussion among those that believed, and especially between the believers and the opposition of the gospel. And yet, for someone who believed, the first chapter of this book, you know, Genesis chapter 1, the rest of the chapters have not a problem or a difficulty. For Him who created the world is not something outside of His power or His limits, because there are no limits for Him other than those that He Himself has established, and that is truth and righteousness and justice and mercy and so on. And in some of these virtues and characteristics of His divine power, He also is manifesting his limitlessness. If we consider the mercy of the Lord in our life, we will soon discover that it's difficult to see the limits, because we need it on and on, and he is giving it on and on. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Who are the wise men? What is east and how far east? I think if we go east as far as we can, we'll come to the same spot again where we started. So where is that eastern country or the region? Where did the wise men come from? Probably not very important. Probably not even necessary to know. The point that I see here is that they came to Jerusalem and they asked in Jerusalem something that the people of God, between quotations, had no knowledge of. A child is born and that child is king. It's not someone who is going to be anointed king and someone who will be elected or appointed king or someone who eventually will receive his throne. He is king. It's the finished fact. And the wise men know that, and the priests and the scribes and the leaders, religious leaders there, they know nothing about that. I think it's amazing. So the wise men said, where is he? They don't ask, is there any newborn king around here? No, they know there is. They just ask, where is he? Why the Lord allowed or appointed this to happen this way? If the Lord revealed to the wise men that there is a child king born in the land of Israel, why did not the Lord lead them right to the place where they should be going? Why this difficulty or obstacle or trouble? They I imagine they asked for audience or an appointment with the king Herod. And you don't get an appointment right away. You have to wait. And the king likes to arrange the things in a special way because he's king. It has to be something different and more difficult for everybody else and more honoring, exalting him, exposing his majesty or something. The kings always have, most of them, especially Gentile kings, and especially a bloody, filthy man like Herod, they always struggle or strive for that, to somehow present themselves as royal as possible. So it could have been that they waited there for a few days, maybe even a few weeks in Jerusalem. And I wouldn't be surprised if it really was like that, and I wouldn't be too much surprised if it was not. The Lord could have arranged that moment when they asked, the king Herod got so nervous about that he allowed them to meet him right away, because it was an emergency question. If there is another king, what's going to happen to the old one? You see. And so King Herod is calling. Amazing thing to me. I wonder if I just have some obsession with this, but he knew exactly whom to ask. He knew that the priests and the scribes and the educated people, the people that read the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, should know where Christ should be born. And they did know. That's even more amazing. The evil people that they were, these priests, I wonder if I'm going to offend them in some way, probably will, but they are not here anymore to suffer because of that. I think they were atheists. They didn't believe in the Spirit. They didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. What was there left of the Bible or of the Scriptures that they did believe? And I'll be quite bold and say how I feel about that. You know what they believed? They believed in the income that they got from the temple. They believed in the political or religious power that they had to control the people. They believed in their comfortable, between quotations, life in their palaces. And I say between quotations because for a godly person it would not be comfortable at all. But these people were religious, godless people. You know, may I go just one step further or one step closer to our situation nowadays? They were Gentiles. As much as they were the seed of Abraham, as much as they were the children of Israel that received the blessing and the promise and so on, they were that only according to the flesh, but in their spirit, in their mind, in their heart, they were these high priests and priests, the leaders, they were the children of the bloody Levi, the son of Jacob, not the Levite son of Israel. They were unregenerated, unconverted people, awful people. Now, when I say all of that, I see them almost as my twin brothers and sisters before my conversion. They were just like one of us. And so, they had gathered. I think it might be quite impressive in gathering in their long robes and all the outward, supposedly, signs of godliness and dignity and so on. Pardon me. And they got together and they hear the question of the king, where Christ should be born. If they knew that Christ should be born, they knew also that he's going to be the King of Kings and the Messiah and the Savior and all the other things. And if Herod had all that information, how did he ever got the idea that he can destroy that child? Do you see the confusion of educated people, religious people, worldly people? He believed the scripture that Christ should be born in Bethlehem of Judea. But he did not believe that no matter what happened, this child is going to be the King of Kings. But he tried to kill him. How can it be? If Herod had the power to somehow prevent the prophecy to become fulfilled, then the prophecy won't be the truth, will not be real. What is there to believe then? It's either truth or lie. But I imagine that the people in those days fell into the same snare as they do today. They believe something and they explain why the rest should not be believed. How did they explain it in those days? I don't know. But I know some of the explanations nowadays. See, so many Christians that have not experienced true conversion, they combine the Bible. You know, the Bible makes me better. But I don't want to be too religious. I don't want to go too far. It's necessary for me to go to church and you know, that improves my character. What a good thing to improve the character of a sinner and let him continue in his sins. So he's going to be an improved sinner. What a privilege, you know. A murderer will be improved murderer. A thief will be improved thief, and so on. He's not going to become a new man. And that's what I think is covered under the words of the prophet of old. He said, all your righteousnesses are like a filthy rag. Well, in any case, they told Herod what's going to happen, and Herod decided two methods. I think he's a classical example of a ruler, a king, a governor. You know, he's acting. He's on the stage. He's pretending. Well, let's be open. He is a liar. He is an evil man. And he said, let's not skip this. The scribes and the priests answered to Herod the king, that Christ should be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah,